Amen. What a powerful story. What a powerful time of worship. Well, good morning. Happy Easter. Welcome to Kairos Church. We're so excited that you're here worshiping with us today, celebrating the resurrected King Jesus Christ. Man, we had an amazing, like Adam said, we had an amazing service last night, just from beginning to end and everything outside. And so I have a very, very powerful message to share with you today. And last night, I prefaced the message for the service, and today it's going to be maybe a little bit different. Last night was very emotional for me, stepping onto the stage last night for me was hard because of just a very difficult season that I went through and am going through right now. So I need to preface with you guys as well, because about 5 weeks ago, God gave me a message to share for Easter, and it's a powerful message. It's a really powerful message. But as I'm, you know, getting ready to give this message, last Friday, my father passed away, and so it's been a hard week. We're still, you know, dealing with all the grief and all the sorrow and all the things there. And last night was really hard for me to get up here. I told the congregation last night that I honestly, like in the heart of me, like I love my church. Man, we are celebrating the greatest day in history, and I didn't want to be here. And so it was hard. It was really, really hard for me. And so I wanted to preface, and I want you guys to know that right now I am struggling. But the word that God gave me 5 weeks ago to share with you, he used it to speak to me. And it's one of those really, really powerful things, because that's how God works and that's how God moves. He gives you a word right where you're at. And he speaks to what you're directly going through. And, you know, here I am, and God has given me this message. And I was like, man, this is going to be so great for the congregation, but he's used it to bless me as well. So, I did better today than I did last night. It will be an emotional time, and there will be times when it will be tough for me to get things out. And so I just wanted to preface that for you, but I also want you to know that, man, this is such a good word. There are difficult seasons and difficult things that we go through. As I go through today, I'm going to talk about our desert seasons that we go through. But really, the word that God gave me comes from Romans 8:28. And I want to read it to you. And it says this: "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose." And so the phrase I want to focus on today is all things. That God is working all things together for the good of those who love him. And really, this is the question today. Do you believe that God is working all things together for your good? Now, before you answer, there's a really important note that you need to know. Because when it says all things here, I think instantly we go to blessings, we go to prosperity, we go to good things. But when it says that God is working all things, it's also talking about the bad, the difficult, the struggles that we go through. It's not just good things. God works and causes all things to work together for our good. And so let me ask the question again. Do you believe that God is working bad things, difficult things, the struggles you go through for your good? In the sickness, in your financial struggles, in your relationship strain, in through a pandemic, through the loss of a loved one, through, you know, difficulties with your children, through divorce, through addiction, through heartache. Do you believe that God is working that for your good and for his glory? It's a hard question to come to terms with. And maybe you begin to think through and process some of the things that you've dealt with in your life and begin to question, well, how is God working that for my good? Maybe you're going through, just like me, you're going through something right now. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's the struggle with an addiction. I don't know. And you sit back and you wonder, with where it seems like everything is falling apart, and you say, how is God? How is he working this for my good? And how do we know? How can we know that he's working for us good? Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we can look at his word and we can look at his promises and we can see that God is good. But really, the greatest example that we can see that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him is Jesus' example. And that's what we're here celebrating today. But this is one of the things that Jesus modeled for us. He came to this earth. He was fully human, but he was also fully divine. So he's human and he's God. But even though he was God, he still endured all things that you and I endure. He lowered himself and brought himself down here, put himself in flesh to go through, to experience all the things that we go through. And as I was thinking about these things that Jesus experienced, and really it is all things, but I wanted to share just a few highlights from his time on earth and his ministry, and I call them just the deserts that he goes through, and me, you, and I go through deserts in our life, but he had a couple that I want to talk about, and really what's really interesting about this is if you go and read the Gospels, Jesus' ministry, before he stepped into ministry, he started in the desert. He went into the wilderness. And if you know the story, the Spirit, you know, moved him to go into the wilderness, and he was there, and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and within the wilderness, within the desert, he was tempted, and he was weak, and the enemy came at him very hard three times, promising all these things. You're hungry, eat. Man, you can be the ruler of all this. Just bow down to my feet. And he tempted Jesus and all these things. And so there's this desert of what I'm calling a desert of temptation. And I know that I go through deserts of temptation, and I'm sure you have as well. Jesus went through it. Jesus experienced deserts of loss. I think first and foremost, the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist, who was beheaded. And I'm sure that hurt him deeply, but he knew there was good in it and what John was doing. I think about the time when he lost a good friend, Lazarus. And we know what happened with Lazarus, right? But at the same time, we get a verse there that everyone knows because it's the easiest one to remember. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept, okay? And so, like, we know that Jesus, he experienced deserts of loss, just like you and I. He went through it. He went through the heartache. Now, he knows what's going to happen, right? And he brought Lazarus back to life, but he still experienced that heartache. And then there's deserts of a disappointment. And I know we go through this in our lives. Maybe we're disappointed in someone. Maybe we're disappointed in ourselves. But Jesus went through these moments of disappointment. The first one that came to my mind is Jesus' disappointment in the religious leaders of his time. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders in the temple, and how they were perverting God's word. And really, they were so focused on the law, they forgot to love people. And Jesus had a few words for them and a few actions for him, and he used their disappointment. But it wasn't just the Pharisees. As you read through his story and the interactions he has with his followers, with his disciples, and there are times when you can just tell. You're reading the text, and you can just tell Jesus is like, come on, guys, when are you going to get it, right? And they spent time with him day and night for 3 years, and he told them what was going to happen, and they still didn't get it. They still didn't understand. Peter still cut some guy's ear off in the end. You know what I'm saying? There's disappointment, even in his disappointment. And then we get to the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was arrested and the night before he was crucified, and Jesus experienced a desert of anxiety. And we get this picture of him in the garden. He's in deep prayer, fervent prayer, and he's crying out to his Father, Father, if you would, please, 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 if it be your will, take this cup of suffering from me. See, Jesus knew what was about to happen to him. And he's there and he's praying so hard that in the Gospel of John, it says that he sweats drops of blood. Now, I've never experienced that amount of anxiety, but Jesus went through it just like you and I. And then finally, we get to what we all come to, the desert of death, where Jesus, though he's fully divine, he went to the cross for us, and he died, and he breathed his last. I share all those things because I think sometimes we can view God as someone who's in the cosmos and so far away. We can view God as someone who doesn't understand, someone who's just looking down and kind of just laughing at all of our suffering. But at the end of the day, he sent his son. He came down and he endured and went through all things just like you and I. He experienced the bad. He endured the bad. And in all those things, guess what? He is victorious. He's victorious. And what that means, if we have that hope, if we have that promise, in him, we can also be victorious in all things. So, as we look at all things always being blessings, we got to remember that it's not just blessings, it's not just good, it's all things, it's good things, it's mediocre things, it's difficult things, it's great things, it's wonderful things, it's all the things we go through. But if our foundation, if our faith, if our hope, if our trust is in him, guess what? It will be for our good. Now, it's hard to see it when we're going through it, right? But if we believe his promises, if we know that he is working things out for our good, we can hold on to hope. So you can do one or two things. As you go through all things, good and bad, you can either find yourself in all things, you can find your identity, you can find your purpose, you can see God working and moving, or you can lose yourself in all things. You can allow the things that are happening to you cause you to lose hope, lose a sense of identity, lose a sense of purpose, and send you into a place where you just are unsure of what to believe and send you into doubt. And the difference becomes this, whether you believe that all things are going to help you find yourself or lose yourself, the difference becomes the foundation in all the things that you go through. At the end of the day, who is your rock? Is it Christ? Is it in him? Is it in what he did? Is it in what he endured for you? What do you put your faith in? And your hope and your trust in. Now, Romans 8:28 says that God works all things for those who love him. And then in Romans 8:32, I love it because it follows it up and it says also, as you're going through all things, God will give you all things. He'll give you what you need as you're experiencing all things. And it says, Romans 8:32, he says, he who did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Now, I think in this, we got to make sure we understand that it's not all the things that we want, but he will provide all the things that we need to get through what we're going through and to keep our eyes focused on him. And so you may think, man, this desert season that I'm going through, this loss, this pain, this anxiety, this disappointment, whatever it is you're going through, you may think, man, this cannot be a part of God's plan. But by Jesus' example, we see that your desert, my desert, it may just be the beginning or the catalyst or the test to what God has next for you. And we see it in Jesus' life. Each of those seasons led to what God was going to do through him, which led to the good for all of us. And he wants to do the same for you. In Romans 8:37, it says this, in all these things, in all that you go through, in all that you endure, in all that you experience, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors and gain overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much so that he died for us. And that's the hope that we hold on to. And right there, he lays it all out for us. Yes, you're gonna go through things, but I will provide and I will work and I will give. And in all these things, in all of them, guess what? You can be victorious. And that's what we have to hold on to in those moments where we're struggling, in those moments where we're doubting, in those moments where we are filled to the brim with grief. We hold on and say, God, you know what? In this, I can also be a conqueror because your son has conquered all things. And really, it comes down to where you put your hope or where you're trying to find your hope. So when you go through all things, when you experience some bad things, what are you turning to? Are you looking to eternal hope? Or are you looking to what I'm calling the earthly mirage of hope? Because that's the reality, the things of this world. I'm calling it a mirage because I'm using this whole desert thing, but we see something that we think is going to be what we need to get through what we're going through, but at the end of the day, as we go after that thing, comes to find out it's not what we needed. And we look to things of this world like wealth, gaining material things, or drugs and addiction, and we go to food, we go to porn, we go to entertainment, we go to anything that we can escape the reality of what we're going through. And it's a mirage of hope. It's false hope. And we work to get there, and we work to go after that thing, and we finally get there, and when we get there, we say, oh, this is going to be it. And then it's never enough. What this world has to offer, what this world says, hey, this is all you need to be happy and to have a prosperous life, at the end, it's just temporary. It's fleeting. It lasts only for a moment. All the world has to offer is a false mirage of hope. In the world and the things of the world, at the end of the day, they're going to let you down. And in my experience, personal experience, and what I've seen, not only do they let us down, but they actually lead to more suffering and more pain and more hurt, because what we thought was going to help us ends up letting us down and hurting us even more. And so that means what we got to do is we got to turn to eternal hope. We gotta turn our eyes to the heavens. And though we may suffer and we may be experiencing bad things, if we keep focused on him, in the end, all things will work together for the good who love him. And that's what Romans 8:28 is talking about. Because you see, when what God has given to us, right, this eternal hope through his son Jesus, he has given that to us. He sent his son to give us the hope, to give us resurrection life, and ultimately to give us comfort. And do you know where we get that comfort? It's from the Spirit. And when after Jesus died and was resurrected and he ascended, he said, I have to go, and as I go, I'm gonna send someone to you. It'll be the comforter. It'll be the Spirit. And here's what it says in John 14:16. It says, but the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you what? All things. And the great thing about the Spirit is that he can be with us in all things and help us through all things and comfort us in all things. And again, Jesus models this for us. And we think, well, no, what I'm going through is too hard. And no, I can't find comfort in that because it's not enough. But man, Jesus, all the things that he went through, his desert of temptation, of loss, of death, all of these things, God came and the Spirit came and comforted him. And we go back to the desert of temptation. He's tempted 3 times. And man, he uses God's word to combat, and he keeps his hope and his eyes on Christ. And he was struggling at the time, but he kept his faith in him. And after he resisted the temptation, do you know what happened at the very end? Guess what? The Bible says that the angels came and comforted him. We go to the garden, this desert of anxiety that he's going through, and he's praying, and he's there, and his disciples are sleeping over in the corner and letting him down. You know what I'm saying? There's disappointment at the same time, but he's praying, and guess what happens after he's done praying? The angels came to comfort him. We get to the desert of disappointment with his followers, and like, you know, is this ragtag group of guys going to actually be able to start my church? Do they actually get it? I got one guy running. I got one guy denying me. He's got all this stuff going on. Are they going to do what I've trained them to do? And there's this desert where he's disappointed, but at the same time, he knew what these men could do. And so you get into Acts chapter 2, and you get into Pentecost, and guess what came? The Spirit came, and he fell upon them. And that day, God, man, his church, his bride came, and the church came to bring the comfort, to bring the Spirit to the world so that the Spirit could bring us comfort. The Spirit comes to comfort. And then we get to the desert of death. And while it is true that Jesus did die, the comfort came 3 days later when he rose, when the tomb was empty, right? And so Jesus experienced resurrection life. And what we are promised in him and through him and by him is that same resurrection life. In this world, our sin leads to death and pain and suffering, but by him, we are risen to new life, new hope, and a new greater understanding. And when we get that resurrection life, when we say, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he did what God sent him to do, and that he set me free from the penalty of my sin, when we say that, guess what we get? We get baptized in Jesus in the Spirit, and we get the Comforter with us at all times and in all things. And it is a powerful, powerful thing. So there will be deserts of suffering and isolation and pain and disappointment and anxiety and death and loss. But in all those things, if you seek him, if you remember his promises, he will bring you comfort. Here's what I've come to believe in my life, and I hope that you'll believe it in yours, is that this, that the Holy Spirit is my comforter. He is my sustainer. He is my joy in all things. He is my constant in all things, and he is my hope in all things. And I have to, in all the things that I go through, remind myself that he is there with me no matter what. He comforts, he sustains, he brings joy, he's my constant in all things. The Spirit is the comforter, and he can be with you at all times and in all things. And maybe you could say, well, Pastor, it's easy to say that and tell us that and to look to him, but you don't know the life that I've had to endure. You don't know the things that I've experienced. Pastor, your life just seems a lot easier than mine. And hey, you know what? That may be true. I don't know. I don't. But here's what I can tell you. Over the last week, with the desert of loss that I've experienced, here's what I can tell you, is that it is only by the Spirit's comfort that I've been able to get through it. It's the Spirit that's comforted me and strengthened me and given me the courage to come and stand and do what he's called me to do this week. It's not in my strength. I'll be real honest. I told my staff this last week. I said, I'm real good at putting on a face and putting on a front. But on the inside, I'm a mess. I'm struggling. And just like you, this word that he gave me to give to you, can I be honest? Like, I'm struggling with it a little bit. But here's the key. You ready? My foundation, my rock, is still him. And so while I'm sad about the loss of losing my father and all that, I still have the hope that I have found in him. And so as I've gone through this, and there have been days when I didn't want to get up. There have been days that I didn't want to go to work. There have been days when I didn't want to talk to people. There have been days when I didn't want to open his word, when I didn't want to reach out for prayer, I did it anyway. And through his word, I was comforted. And through his people, I was comforted. Just simply asking for prayer. And I know so many people were praying for me, and oh man, there's power in prayer, and you hear it all the time. But it's the Spirit of God's people, lifting me up, that brought me comfort. And that's what I had to do, and I can't imagine dealing with this loss without him. I couldn't. There's no way I could. He's the only way that I'm able to get through what I'm currently going through, and I know you've experienced this, and I know you've gone through this, and if you've gone through without him, I'm sorry. Because he is our ultimate comfort. He is the one that wants to bring us comfort in all the things that we go through. So here's what he's doing. In Romans, in the three verses that I shared, he's working all things. God is working all things. He's causing all things to work for the good of those who love him. And so we know he's working all things. And then in verse 32, it says God, he gives all things. And I've already kind of shared this, that, man, as you're going through all things, he will provide exactly what you need in all things. He's given us the greatest gift, his son, and by his son, we're given the spirit so that in all things, we will be good, we will be comforted, we will sustain, we will have hope, we will have joy. So he works all things, and he gives all things. And then in verse 35 and 37, here's what it says, that he is in all things. And I love this. Romans 8, 35, who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? What a powerful, powerful question. Who can do it? It's almost rhetorical, right? Because you can't. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, 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 no. In all of these things, verse 37, what's it say? We are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory in him who gave his life for us. He's in all things. He works all things. He gives all things in order that you and I can go and do all things through him who strengthens us. You know where that comes from? Philippians 4:13. And I love it because it says all things. I am able to do what? All things. The good things, the easy things, the hard things, the difficult things. I'm able to do all things, not by my strength, not by my wisdom, but by him and who he is. And that's how I step into difficult, uncomfortable, hard situations. That's how I'm able to continue moving on, even when I've maybe given up or lost hope. I look to him, and the spirit within me strengthens me. So he works all things, and he gives all things, and he's in all things so that you and I can do all things. But here's the most important thing, because a lot of times this passage of scripture that God's going to work all things for your good, people stop there. It's not just for your good. It's for your good, for his glory, for his purpose, for his will, for his plan. He's working it together in his purpose, in his will, in his plan. It's an eternal focus, not an earthly focus. So often we go to this and we say, God, I want you to work these things out right now, right here for me, for my good on this earth. And God says, listen, I am working that out for your good for eternity, not just for earthly. That's not what this is all about. It's about where you're going, because our life here on earth is small. It is minuscule. But we, man, if we believe the promise, we get to spend all eternity for him. God's mind is set on eternity. So let me just tell you this. God cares more about your eternal salvation than your earthly suffering. So much more. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't care. He doesn't see what you're going through. I've already read through the scriptures and said that he's there, he's with you in all things, but he cares more about your eternal salvation than your earthly suffering. And so all that you endure is for the purpose of eternity. And because God has eternity in mind, you will have to go through troubles and endure hardships on this earth in order to experience it. You see, what we go through, all the things we go through, is a part of where God wants to get you. Not here on this earth. No, for all of eternity. For all of eternity. John 16:33 says this, in the world, you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. Talked about it. You've experienced it. You know that. So it's going to be there. That's what this world brings, because this world, we have sin. It's fallen. It's broken. Sin with this world comes suffering and distress and tribulation. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world for your good and for my good. He's overcome. He's victorious. And in him, you and I, if we stay focused on him, we can also be victorious, not earthly victorious, but eternally victorious. The last thing that Christ endured, I talked about it already, was the desert of his death, right? And what's interesting is that that day, the day that he died, the day that he breathed his last Friday is called what? Good Friday. Interesting that it's called Good Friday. Interesting that Romans 8:32 says that God causes all things to work together for your good. I found this comic. It's an old school comic. You can put it up and it says, I hate the term Good Friday. Why? Well, my Lord was hanged on a tree that day. Well, if you were going to be hanged on that day and he volunteered to take your place, how would you feel? Good. Have a nice day. It's so true. Now here's what we know. we read through scriptures, is that what Christ experienced on our behalf, there is nothing good about that. About being beaten, having a crown of thorns put on your head, being nailed to a cross, and breathing his last as he hung there, wasn't for his good. But what he endured was for our good. Our eternal good, right? Because he took our place. He endured the cross. He endured all of that, so you don't have to. Praise Jesus. I don't have to go through what he did and what he took for me. Yes, he suffered. But even in his death, God worked all things for our good. And so, you know, I asked myself the question, well, how is death good for me personally, when I get there? Because here's what I know and here's what I believe. The greatest comfort I can ever get will be when I'm with him in glory. Seeing my creator and my maker standing at his feet for all eternity. That'll be the greatest comfort, right? It's the greatest. Because I know in that place with him, there's no more suffering. There's no more tears. There's no more pain. There's no more heartache. There's no more anxiety. There's no more stress. There's no more worry. There's none of that. That's where our greatest comfort lies. I told you last week, my father passed away. 8 years ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 neck cancer. He was able to go through that, and they got rid of that, and he got another 8 years added to his life. Praise Jesus. Around middle of last year, cancer popped up again on his shoulder. And as of 2 weeks ago, he had a watermelon-sized mass on his left shoulder. At the same time, we found out that the cancer had spread to his spine, to his ribs, and to other areas. And my dad was fighting. He was such a strong guy. He was going to fight to the very end, and he did fight to the very end. His body's shutting down, but he was fighting. And so I look at the loss that I experienced, and I say, well, how is my dad's death? How is that good? And here's what I came to. My dad has received complete healing. And I believe that. My dad was suffering. Big time. And he was hurting. Right now, he's not. And I'm thankful for that. And I remember my last interactions with him where I just kept telling him, Dad, it's time for you to rest. It's okay, you fought hard. Rest. 8 years ago when he went through cancer, it was kind of a cool moment. Not a cool moment that he went through cancer, sorry, that's weird. But the way that God orchestrated it, the church that I was at, we had actually started another church that was close to my dad, and my dad got involved and hadn't really been involved in church, and then he gets this diagnosis, and I got to walk through my dad with that and guide him and show him where his ultimate comfort can come from. The campus pastor at the same time walked through him and walked through that, and I believe in that moment 8 years ago, that's where he found Christ. And as he's going through it again, all the time he'd say, Brent, pray for me. Have the church pray for me. 2 weeks ago, he sent me a passage of scripture from Psalm 41, verse 3. And it says, the Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and will heal him on the bed where he lies. And I believe that my dad has been fully healed. Now, the dad that I, my dad that I saw laying there, that was not my dad. My dad, for man, all his life that I can remember, was a bodybuilder. Big, strong, strapping guy, not like me. I'm just weak and feeble. But he was strong. And I believe, man, that's where he's at again. Back to being strong, back to his original strength, his body renewed. Now, that's my story. I know it's not your story, and I know it's not the same. I know my loss is not the same as your loss. I know we all go through different things and experience different things in different ways. But here's the one truth about all of it. In all things, God is constant. He is there. He's in all things. And I believe he's working all things, good or bad. He's working them out for our ultimate good, eternal good. So let me just tell you today, the greatest good that God has for you, it's not found here. Honestly, it's not. We can live for him, and we can have an amazing life here, and we can do all that he's called us to do, but the greatest good that he has for you will be with him for all eternity. And he gave us a way to get to that. We call it the good news, right? The gospel. And the good news has a name, and his name is Jesus. It's through him and by him and what he did that we grab a hold of it. So all the things we go through and endure and enjoy are all in an effort to reveal what his son has accomplished for us on the cross. And as he reveals that to us, and as we see that or hear about that or read about that, then we're called to believe it, to confess our sin and our need for it, and to profess that he is our Lord and Savior. You see, because you're good in all things was secured by Jesus' resurrection, where he took your place, where he paid the penalty for sin, and by that he brings you into relationship with God and gives you the Spirit that will comfort you in all things. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's go back to that original question. Do you right now, right here, and all the things that you're going through, do you believe that God is working it for your good? It's a big question to ask. And I don't know where you are, and I don't know what you're going through, but here's what I do know. If you can say yes, even though I'm experiencing pain, even though I'm experiencing suffering, even though I'm going through trial, yes, I can say that God is working this for my good, then what I can say to you is that you have found the hope. And his name is Jesus. And you've received that comfort through the Holy Spirit. And hold on to that. Don't lose sight of that. In those moments where it's hard to move forward, in those moments where you don't want to, man, allow the Spirit to empower you to keep going after it, to keep believing, to not lose hope, to not lose joy. Remember that he was with you in that moment of loss. That he's with you right now in your financial struggles. That he wants to come alongside you right now and save you from that addiction. Remember him. You don't need those things to numb or distract or remove you from reality. You can find comfort in him. If it's yes, then whatever you're going through, remember the hope and allow the Spirit to comfort you right now. And know that there will be times ahead. Difficult times, tough times, great times, wonderful times. In all those moments, remember who he is and what he did, and that the Spirit is with you in all things. Now, if you're here today, and honestly, you would say, no, Pastor Brent, right now, I don't believe that God is working this for my good. It's too hard. It's too terrible. I can't get through it. Can I tell you? The good news is that you don't have to. The Spirit. God gives the Spirit to comfort it in those moments. He says to you, you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to struggle alone. And right now, the opportunity to receive that is being presented to you. And His name is Jesus. And so if you've struggled, if you've gone through difficult things and you've sought out the false hope of this world and it's only let you down and led to more suffering, I'm telling you right now, right here today, there is only one that you need, and His name is Jesus. He is risen, and He is victorious, and He sends the Comforter, and you can have all of those things. And it's so simple. Just believe it. Believe in your heart who He is. Believe what He did, and believe that He sends the Spirit to be with you in all things. Now, here's what I want to do. Today, right now, I'm going to step down off this stage, and I want to ask you right now, I told you how powerful prayer is, so if you're going through something, if you're dealing with something, if you would like to, have a prayer of comfort over you in whatever situation you're going through, I would ask you to come forward, come right to me. I want to pray over you. The church wants to pray over you. Don't wait, because what you're going through is tough, and what you're going through is difficult. Be vulnerable. Have accountability. Let me pray for you, because as I'm struggling, I know you're going through something too. So whatever it is, if it's loss, if it's disappointment, if it's anxiety, man, come up here so I can pray with you. That's it. I just want to pray. Does anyone need prayer today? Prayer this morning for comfort? God, right now, in our hurt and in our pain, as we go through things, as we deal with hurt, it's hard and it's difficult and it leads to doubt and it leads to pain and it leads to suffering and it leads to questioning God. So whatever we're going through, whether it's physical or emotional or mental or stress or worry or anxiety, God, I just pray and I lift up our congregation, those that are here, those that I hear in the seats holding back sobs, God. Ultimately, I pray that your Spirit would give them an extra dose of comfort, an extra dose of joy. God, they would be reminded that no matter what they're going through, God, you are with them. And you're working it out. And we may not get to see it here, but we know that as we put our hope in you, we will get the greatest good, the greatest comfort we will ever have with you for all of eternity. As we're here on this earth, allow your Spirit to continue to comfort us, sustain us, to bring us hope and joy in all things. Thank you, Jesus, for your gracious kindness and your love through your Son and by your Son. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.